Malachim Beis, Perachav Dalad Pasuk Beis. So Jehoiakim is loyal to Bavel only as long as it suits his purposes. And when it appears that Nebuchadnezzar has weakened and is losing power in the geopolitics of the Middle East, Jehoiakim decides to rebel. And that rebellion is a catastrophe of epic proportions. Vayishlach Hashem bo, and Hashem sent against Jehoiakim. So it does not say Nebuchadnezzar sent against Jehoiakim, even though Nebuchadnezzar was their commander-in-chief, and as far as he was concerned, he was going to send all of these armies against us. But it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's doing it. As Yirmiyah is warning Klal Yisrael at this time, day after day, again and again and again. So much so that the kings can't deal with Yirmiyahu, and he's imprisoned, and he's forced to go into hiding, although he refuses. Yirmiyah is warning us, and they don't want to hear the warnings. So Hashem sent against Jehoiakim and the Jewish people in Yehuda as Gedudei Kastim, bands of Chaldeans of the Kastim, Veskedudei Aram, bands of Arameans. Look at how these guys were jockeying for position as great empires themselves just a few parakim ago. And now they are serving the king of Bavel. They have become vassals themselves. How the mighty have fallen. Veskedudei Moav, bands of the Moabites. Veskedudei Bnei Amon, and bands of Ammonites. These nations are all traditional enemies of the Jewish people. They are only too happy to join in the destruction of Klal Yisrael and eventually of the Beis HaMikdash. There are references to them in Eicha, where it talks about the various Amim who are celebrating and drinking in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a reference to the idea, Lo Yavo Moavi U'Amoni Bekal Hashem, Amoni U'Moavi, and Amoni is not allowed to convert, to become Jewish. They're not allowed to join the nation of God, and yet those accursed people who can't even become Jewish are partying in the Kodesh Kodeshim at the height of the destruction. So their reference, their first reference is here in Sefer Melachim, and they come up against us. Some say in the Chazal that these nations did their best to persuade Nebuchadnezzar to destroy Yerushalayim in the first place. He was a little reluctant, remembering what had happened to Sancheriv when he came up against Yerushalayim. But the people of Ammon and Moab, says the Me'amloes, had heard that the Nevi'ei Yisrael had foretold imminent destruction, and they convinced him that he would succeed. So he's on his way. Vayishalchem b'Yehuda l'ha'avido k'dvar Hashem asher diber b'yad avodav ha'nevi'im. And so Nebuchadnezzar sent these bands of marauders against Yehuda to destroy it, as according to the word of God that he had spoken through the hands of his servants, the Nevi'im. And in fact, says Pasuk Gimel, a little out of order, Ach al pi Hashem hoysa bi Yehuda, l'hasir me'al panav. And indeed, it was by the word of Hashem that this happened to Yehuda, to remove them from his presence. And that is the number one message of Eicha, as we'll see when we get there, is the distance between the formerly happily married couple, Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is the bridegroom, we are the bride, but he refuses to show his face to us, he refuses to listen or respond to us. Eicha is notable for the absence of the presence of Hashem in huge ways, because we are not accustomed to that during the age of the Nevi'im and the Beis HaMikdash and all the miracles of the first Beis HaMikdash. We can't even contemplate such a pass having come to be. And yet there we are, and it's through our own deeds. How do we know it's through our own deeds? Bechatos Menashe kechol asher osa. Because of the sins of Menashe, in accordance with all he had done. Now, the Klal Yisrael isn't going to be punished for the sins of a king several generations before. Avos lo yumsu al banim, uvanim lo yumsu al avosam. We're not supposed to be punished for Menashe's sins. But the problem is we are continuing them. The corruption that Menashe began has piled up to the point where we are absolutely lahachis. And in fact, we see in Eicha in the first parak, I recently did a shiur on Eicha during the 3 weeks of the summer of 2022. So you learn it inside and you see all of this that Malachim is describing. I believe it's Parak Aleph Pasuk Tes says in Eicha that all of our sins have been woven into a cloak, into a yoke around our necks that's so heavy it's dragging us down. And one of the Mefarshim interprets that as meaning that all of our sins since Menashe have been saved up. Hashem wove them into one cloak. Rather than punishing us with small punishments for individual sins all the way through, he saved it up for one giant churban and a decree that Yerushalayim would be destroyed. The sins of Menashe, as we said, the idols in the Beis HaMikdash, the incredible inculcation of Avodah Zarah into Jewish culture was so deep, so dominant. Maybe the only way to uproot it was to destroy us practically completely. Not exactly completely, but by removing us from the Beis HaMikdash, removing us from all of the buildings and areas where we felt safe, surely Hashem would not destroy them. And yet they would. Some say the idea of Menashe is mentioned in this pasuk, because Menashe at least did tshuva at the end of his life, according to some, and still we did not do tshuva at this point. And so the people know this is coming. They've been warned that this is coming. And in Sefer Divrei Hayamim and in Sefer Daniel, the very beginning of Sefer Daniel, we see that Jehoiakim at some point in the middle of all of this is captured by Melech Bavel and dragged down to Bavel in chains, specifically in iron manacles, it's mentioned, and imprisoned, and is not allowed to come back to Yerushalayim until he has been beaten down, until he has been cowed to the point where he's not going to rebel again. Doesn't mean that a later king isn't going to do anything of that kind, but he's dragged off. Jehoiakim, in his fifth year, we're going to see shortly, Ashkelon is going to be captured, and Nebuchadnezzar is showing up, and Yirmiyah has all of his prophecies recorded in a single scroll, which many say was the original version of Eicha, prophecies that he had delivered over 23 years. Writes it up, his assistant Baruch ben Neriah, his Talmud, brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. Yirmiyahu had been evicted from the Beis HaMikdash. He wasn't allowed, despite being a Kohen, to even enter the premises. And so the scroll was read before the government, and Jehoiakim is absolutely outraged. And in Sefer Yirmiyah, we see that Jehoiakim, also in Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Chavav, they talk about this, Jehoiakim then started to cut up the scroll of Eicha, burning it, throwing it into the fire pot until it was burned in the fire. And they showed no fear of these terrible words. And then not long after that, he is brought in chains, dragged off. And Jehoiakim is going to die after his 11 years during a siege of Yerushalayim by Nebuchadnezzar himself. The question being, did Jehoiakim die in the siege? Did he die of natural causes? But whatever it is, his kingship isn't going to last, and his sins are many. And we'll finish off Jehoiakim shortly.